going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We continue. Mike Schoaf and the Bulldog. Max Hairston scheduled to speak down at the stadium at some point here soon. We'll get you that when it starts, right? That's the best we can do.
That's all we can do. It's everything we can do.
Uneventful doesn't have to mean bad. I mean, there was no trade. Trades are exciting, up or down. They're controversial. We don't have that. Position of need, for what that's worth, had that. I would put it. I did put it number one on the list. Mm-hmm. You could have put it at like two, but no lower, I would think. Like Sal's been saying, there's no position on the field that the Bills really just didn't have a starter other than corner. So that is, you would think, taken care of, hopefully taken care of by this pick. And, you know, in terms of back to trades, I don't know how close they might have even gotten to that, because the defensive tackles we talked about every day went way earlier, and they could have traded down probably. They said as much, but who knows why they didn't. I always thought to bet against it because they did it last year. And, you know, maybe that wasn't a reason, maybe it was. But the fact that there were three other cornerbacks in the same consensus-wise area on the board, you know, most mock drafts, makes you wonder if Hairston was just like that much better for them than the others.
Two of those three have injury concerns. And I'd say maybe more so with Johnson than with Revell. Like, Revell is coming off of an ACL he hurt in September, and I'd think he'd be ready to go. And, you know, guys come back from ACLs, you know, with regularity, especially when they're before they even get to the NFL. And I'd say that it couldn't take a year for him to get all the way back, like it did with Trey White, before he then sadly tore his Achilles shortly after returning. But Will Johnson, the fact that he was the top corner, I think, almost universally after Travis Hunter, and he was falling, I think tells you, it doesn't tell you all you need to know, but I'm respecting that fall. I'm respecting that teams were scared off by it. And I said a few times yesterday, I'm not positive the Bills have never, under McDermott and Bean, taken a guy that was coming off of a season-ending injury in college. I just can't think of an example where they have. I mean, the organization has done it. I referenced Shaq Lawson with Rex Ryan and Doug Whaley, Willis McGahee, quite famously, by Tom Donahoe. So the organization's done it, but this hierarchy, I don't recall them doing it. So to say that they couldn't, you know, at some point, you know, the price and the value might begin to outweigh whatever those concerns are. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that 30 was not where that was. So I don't know if they maybe Revell and Johnson. I like the Revell idea. I thought his story would really appeal to the Bills. But and the player, his size, like he read on paper like a guy that I could see them really liking, but maybe the knee injury was just enough to like that's you know he's not in the same you know class to them as well. Whereas we lump all these guys together, I'll bet they had those guys in a separate pile maybe. So that leaves you with one guy,
right,
Amos,
right.
Instead, you know, if you're ruling out the other two, and I don't know that they were, but it would. Yeah, I might suspect that they had.
Well, I'm also sort of casually talking about that trade down idea without knowing who what the pick is. Like, from 30 to what? I mean, Cleveland at the top pick of the draft, that's nice to have. So maybe there was nothing there. Why would they be trading up? Unless that would have been for a quarterback, and maybe they were not inclined to do that. Houston has 34, and they just acquired that pick from the Giants. Why would they be looking to trade it, right? So you don't know. It just was kind of easy to say there'd be a quarterback team there. It hadn't happened in years. I'm guilty of this, thinking like, oh, well, that it just makes common sense. You'd have early second-round teams who are bad moving to the way the Ravens did for Jackson, moving into the first round, fifth-year option, all the things that get said. But the last 4 years, it didn't happen at all. And that is partly or largely a function of who the quarterbacks are.
They were so good that they all went.
Last year, they all went in the top 12.
Nobody got near the bottom for anybody to want to do that.
Right, there was nobody left.
Yeah. So, yeah, that makes it really, you know, a non-starter. There's no one to come and get. And as it turns out, I think, you know, really, because if Schefter is correct in what he's saying today, like the Giants won the race. Like, I also didn't think they would have to go as high as they came back in to get Dart. But maybe they felt like they needed to beat Cleveland to the punch. Because I think Schefter has said like Cleveland preferred Dart as well. And so that doesn't mean they won't draft Sanders. They might have had a preference, but now, you know, they can't get their hands on the guy that they preferred. So now what do you do? You know, if I'm them, if they don't like Milroe and they didn't like Sanders enough to want to do anything about it yesterday, with the extra stuff they have, I would probably be inclined to just punt it. They're going to be armed and ready to do business next year. We'll see how high those picks end up being, both their own and Jacksonville's, but that's a pretty nice spot to be. They might be like the Bills were in 2017 when, you know, I was in love with the Patrick Mahomes idea. The Bills traded out of that, let Kansas City take them, and they got Trey White, and it turned out well enough, I guess.
I know.
Right?
There's no way to even address that.
Right, well enough? What does that mean?
What does that mean?
The guy beats you every time it really matters. So I don't know.
It's a certain form of torture.
It's maybe not well enough, actually. But anyway, if I'm the Browns, I'd wait. Unless they really dig Milroe. Because the Shug idea does not, I mean, maybe that's worth taking a flyer on, and if it doesn't work, you can pivot quickly, because he's already 26 by the time the season begins, and, you know, you might feel like, all right, fine, well, we tried, and let's just punt that, and we'll do this again next year, but I don't know, man. I would wait if I were them, unless they really like Milroe, because that was always my favorite idea for anybody, even Tennessee. Recognizing that Ward was the unquestioned number one in this draft. But
if
I have a flag to plant, it's that Milroe's going to be the best quarterback out of this class.
Not I guess. He was the easily unquestioned number one quarterback in the end. Should he have been the number one pick? I think that still can be debated because of what Hunter is, and even Carter maybe. We just kind of settled for Tennessee needs one. They have first crack. He's the best. And enough people like him.
Mm-hmm.
But plenty of people said last year he would have been QB7. And that doesn't sound great. That sounds like you're more desperate than excited about the player. So we'll see what happens. I'll draft a little bit of Cam Ward. So now you know that. You don't have to ask me.
All right.
Last night for fantasy was mixed. We're waiting on Max Hairston to speak down at the stadium. The one that was really tough to comprehend was Ibuka to Tampa. They're sort of like, you know, the Bills, I don't want to say the Bills are the poor man's Buccaneers. Like, what have the Buccaneers won? But Evans, Godwin, young McMillan, who was pretty good as a rookie, got in the end zone a lot. And now they put in Ibuka to that group. I mean, that's insane. If he's good at all, he's supposed to be good. He's supposed to be like the safe, really good receiver in that first round group. Whereas Golden, maybe the speed is a lie. And McMillan, there were questions about him in certain ways.
I wonder,
he did well.
I wonder if, yeah, he did. I wonder if Ibuka is, to some extent, Godwin insurance. There was a tough injury last year. So he is older. And so is Evans, for that matter. So it's, you know, there's a crowd there, but, you know, not that you want to draft a first round guy to have him, especially a receiver, to have him like sit on the side. But soon enough, it feels to me like, you know, they'll have a really good place for him. If they won't already have a really good place for him. So
that's right. Evans may be 1 year away.
And style-wise, I feel like he's a very good plug-and-play Godwin replacement, like Buka.
Yeah.
Like he almost reads a little bit on paper like how you might describe Godwin. He's not the fastest, he's not the biggest, but he's efficient, he gets open, and he, you know, catches everything you throw him, and that's kind of how, like, people are describing Ibuka. This phrasing was used a lot on TV last night, just professional receiver. You know,
yep.
Just you can count, you just count, it's going to be solid, and, you know, maybe that's enough.
I don't hate it. It's complicated for fantasy. I don't hate it for the Bucks. Like, what you're saying is correct. You would think he would play, but how much? Right, we're not going to know. There was no pick last night that I hated. Like, I'm sure if I went back over the years and were able to remember picks I hated, not a lot of them necessarily ended up badly. I hated the Jahmyr Gibbs pick 2 years ago. What are the Lions doing?
And they drafted a middle linebacker like four picks later that same year.
Yes.
Running back and middle linebacker in the top half of the first round. Whoa!
And then you go to the so-called war rooms, and they're all the same. It reminded me last night of the hockey post-goal celebration lineup. Like everybody gets up, the bro hug. Some are more, you know, energetic than others. Some teams a little bit more casual, but they all kind of look the same. They all just celebrate. They got their guy, you know. That's what you do. And the Lions that year, Holmes, just, he was nuts, and we all thought he was crazy.
Yeah.
By drafting Gibbs like that,
seems like it turned out okay for them.
Well, yes, right. Gibbs is very good. The team has been very good,
and Campbell's been good.
Okay.
So like it all worked, but it just did not seem like a great use of assets at the time. I think a lot of observers.
Was there a pick you came close to hating? I mean, really, it was kind of by the book. I was excited about Loveland going over Tyler Warren because I was, you know, predicting that at a mythical 5-1 that I never got, you know, in on. So, yay. It's hard to hate the Genty pick.
I would never want my team to draft a running back that high, but, like, it was pretty obvious that was going to happen. Somebody was going to do that within the top 10, it seemed, without...
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Any question? I don't know what his over-under was as far as it, but I would be surprised if it was
right there.
Was below 10.
It was right there.
Yeah. So
six. The Raiders were the team.
Yeah. So, yeah, but... Okay, fine. Like I guess I'm close to hating that, but it's, you know, whatever. I'm not mad about it, really. I just don't think I wouldn't want my team to do it. I guess is where I would end up. And yeah, I don't know. There wasn't anybody else that I, you know, hated. What, you know, I wanted some guy. I wanted Matthew Golden to get closer than he did, just because I thought that could have been interesting. I kind of hated that Evan Worry didn't get picked. I mean, it was my draft crush, and here we are. We're going into round two, and he's not there. He's there for round two. I mean, he wasn't picked. Yeah, there wasn't anything that really stood out to me. You know, just guys I wished had gotten closer. Like Kenneth Grant going off the board, I winced when 13. That happened. I was like, that's okay, well, so much for that, I guess.
Yeah, I'll say again, like the defensive tackles going so early took that really right off the table, whether it's a trade up or not. I mean, they really just did not have any chance at that, which I wonder if that surprised them. I mean, there were mock drafts that put those guys that high, and there were many that didn't. And that's what led us to talk about it as viable, is enough people think he could make it to you, or to make it to the mid-20s, and then you make a move. But that was just off the table. Like, they were gone. Once Pittsburgh took their guy Harmon, that was kind of it.
Yep.
I mean, really, Tyreek Williams, if the Bills had liked him enough to move up, maybe they would have tried to do that. We don't know. This is the player from Ohio State that has said today that the Bills told him they would take him at 30. Could they have, you know, the Bills have dealt with Baltimore before.
They could have, yeah. My guess would be that when it got to there, like that point, and Williams, like before, so again, before the Lions take him, right? Williams is there, Amos is there, the player the Bills ultimately select is there, Hairston, and they probably felt like, well, we're going to get one. This is assuming they liked, well, we know they liked Hairston, they picked him. We suspect they liked Williams because he says that they told him they would pick him if he made it to 30. And Amos, it would blow my mind if they didn't at least like Amos. So sitting at 30, I wouldn't be surprised. They went like, hey, one of these three guys, this is all pretty comparable to us, and we're fine here. Like, if the corners go 28 and 29, we take the lineman. If the lineman goes and one of the corners goes, we take the other one. As it turns out, only the lineman went.
Looking at that draft tech chart we used throughout, the Chiefs-Eagles trade, moving up from 32 to 31 and giving up pick 164 to do that. I think that's the number, 164. Huge win for the team trading down. Huge, by huge, I mean like 15 points. It only is worth 10 points to go 31 instead of 32. That's a curious trade, right?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I guess you're Philadelphia, you actually covet that player. And look, I did not want the Bills to draft the linebacker. It's Jahad Williams, is that the?
Campbell.
Campbell, sorry. Thank you. I think he looks like a perfect player for the Eagles.
I know.
Right? I mean, it just works. And I'll bet he would have been an excellent player no matter where he goes. I just didn't want the Bills. I didn't think the need made sense. And if he was so attracted to them, that would have really worried me. And, well, they obviously didn't do it. So, good. So, what are the Eagles thinking? Like, we just want to make sure Kansas City doesn't take him? Is he only waiting one more pick? And then you get him. So, does he want to just make sure? Like, we're this close to this. Sure, I'll give you, what did you say it was? Pick one, whatever.
164.
Yeah, like, okay, fine. Just want to make sure we get our guy here.
Kansas City picking 32nd the year after getting blown out in the Super Bowl is kind of funny. Because 32nd is, you know, the Super Bowl winner. So, I mean, you look at the Chiefs over the years, you see a lot of 32, probably.
Yeah.
Although last year, 32 ended up being Carolina.
Maybe if we like years go by and we look back at this draft and be like, oh, the Chiefs must have won the Super Bowl that year, too.
That's what I'm saying.
You're right. You're going to be like, no.
Didn't they lose that game?
Yeah, by a lot.
Philadelphia kinda, 31, right. Kansas City. Didn't they lose that game?
And the Chiefs took a tackle that's going to miss probably a lot of the year is what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah?
Or at least some of the year. Yeah, there's an injury. That's why I think this is one of these guys, Simmons, Josh Simmons, if he were healthy, would have been a very highly rated tackle. But I think there's an injury concern I read that he should miss some time this year.
It's just, you know, hated. What does hated even mean? Hated would be not like something, as I mean it, that would sort of scuttle the Bills' plans, but it would be just like, this makes no sense. There weren't that many picks last night that made no sense. Fantasy was hot about Tyler Warren going to Indianapolis because most people are saying that they think he goes there to die, at least for this year because of the quarterback situation there. But it does make sense. They've been rotating many tight ends for years. Like Warren was a good value at 14. There weren't that many picks that were just really weird. I need weird. I need a little bit more weird from a draft.
I want to
maybe tonight.
I need to walk back this missing a chunk of the season. I read that earlier today about him, but I'm looking at ESPN.com and Matt Miller says he should be cleared by August.
Oh, that's so good news.
He tore up. Yeah, thank God.
Good news for him.
Tore a patella tendon and missed most of this past season.
Josh Simmons.
Yeah.
How about the Giants trading up for Dart with Russell Wilson, with Jameis Winston? What do they have Jameis Winston for now? What do you do here? What do they need him for now?
What is it you would say you do here?
Could there ever be a trade where he's a free agent signing, but he gets traded before even going to camp?
Sure.
You think that's happened before?
Probably. It's more likely he would get released, I might guess, but
that looks bad.
Yeah, it sure does. Or maybe they just roll with the two of them. Because if they really don't want the kid to play, right? If they want to spend time in the lab with him and work on stuff, then I think you might want to buffer that with two veterans. Because if you only have the one and that guy gets hurt or is terrible, like in the case of Peterman Nathan in 2018, well, then the kid that we wanted to sit is going right in because there's nobody else here. And that, you know, that could happen. So maybe they'll keep both of those veterans around just to make sure they give the kid a redshirt year if that is indeed what they really want.
It's kind of weird now. I mean, it was always destined to be the Giants thing because everybody thinks they need to win. I mean, something meaningful for the coach to stay on and the GM maybe also. So how do they do it? Russell Wilson, okay. Like signing him kind of means that. It shows that, mm-hmm. right? Like, why would you sign him? Just do what more like the Browns might be doing, which is go lower and, you know, maybe even tank. So, no, they don't do that. Wilson is credible enough, I think. Like, you're going to try to win 8 games or whatever you might need, maybe more. And Dart is no part of that. Because you're kind of, this has always been the weird thing about their situation, why it's probably not great for the organization that the coach was retained. Because you've got your quarterback of the future here now, but you need to win this year. He does.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to play Jackson Dart? He could be, I doubt this happens, he could be so good that he just goes in. I mean, right away, and they win games that way. Your threshold, I have no idea what it would be. Your threshold of success is lower if Dart is the quarterback, because you would just not expect to win as much. So if Daboll was able to pull off Dart playing and they win 6 games, but he looks pretty good, then maybe they keep going. I mean, it's terrible odds for a quarterback whose coach gets fired after 1 year. That's just awful for the player. That happened with Darnold. It's happened lots of times.
Right, because you've basically let Daboll, I would think, have some influence on Shane, and together they make this pick. Like, this is their guy that they want to work with and try to build. And yeah, I mean, if you get canned right away, there's no telling. The new GM, the new coach, be like, oh, I hated Jackson Dart in college. I would have never picked him. I mean, who knows?
Right.
That's how these people are. This, you know, it's like the different opinions about different players.
Justin Fields.
Right.
Drafted, benched to start the season, goes in, team's a disaster. He gets to start the next year under new management, new offense, all that. It's a big lift. I wonder if they had to make that trade. That one, we don't know either. The Giants, if they had to move up. I would guess maybe they did with the Browns and kind of low prices moving up. Teams like Cleveland having the early second round picks. Wouldn't have been too expensive for them to get to the Bills pick, say, and pick him if that's who they liked. Adam Schefter says that is who they liked, Dart. Well, the plan, I guess, was for Max Hairston to speak at 5, and that has not happened yet. So we'll break here because that's what we do at 5:25.
This has been one of my favorite segment ever where we're killing time waiting for a guy to start talking.
Yeah, that can be
distracting, I would say. But I feel like we did a good job,
okay,
content wise there.
Much different than how you felt about Sal's performance earlier.
It's terrible.
You like this more.
Yes.
we, I guess, expect Hairston to speak at some point here. Second round of the NFL draft comes your way at 7. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is WGR.